Praise the Lord. We're continuing this morning in the subject of holiness. The Holy One, God as the God of holiness. We've looked at a number of different aspects. This morning I'm shifting gears a little bit. Sin versus holiness. When I started this a few weeks ago, I really didn't think that we were going to be... I just thought it was going to be a couple of messages in that line, but here I keep going with it. So, sin versus holiness. We're going to be looking in Romans chapter 5 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as well. Just a moment. Would you bow your head with me as we seek God's divine anointing, His special help this morning? Father in heaven, thank you for your presence. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to move among us. I pray that you would continue to provide your anointing. Give us that clarity that is needed in the preaching of your word today, both for the speaker as well as for the hearer. I need your strength. I need your help. I am weak. I need you. I pray for your special anointing as we look at this subject that is deeper than what we're able to comprehend on our own. But I pray for your help as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been quoting Donald Metz. Begin with a quote from him this morning. An adequate view of God is essential to a proper understanding of holiness. If man accepts the biblical revelation of God, if man accepts the biblical revelation of God, where else do you get a revelation of God? Anybody have an idea where else you could possibly get a revelation of God? God reveals himself to us through his word. So if we have any concept of God, it has to come to us out of his word. Any other revelation of God is a false god. If it goes against the revelation that God has given us out of his word, it's a false god. If a man accepts the biblical revelation of God, then man also should accept the biblical teaching of man's sinfulness. To understand the nature of redemption, it is necessary to understand the nature of sin. Sin is the ultimate spiritual antithesis of holiness. Sin is the ultimate spiritual antithesis of holiness. But, that word is inserted by me. The quote goes on from Donald Metz, but I put that little word in there to get us to understand that there may be a little bit of a shift here. Because you and I think along the lines of sinfulness as just a part of our existence and part of our world. Everywhere we turn, it's chaos because of sin. Any chaos comes because of sin. Sin is the ultimate spiritual antithesis of holiness. Man was designed for holiness. Man was not designed for sin. Man was designed for holiness, created in holiness and destined for holiness. But sin marred the original design and now threatens man's destiny. Sin threatens man's destiny. Sin threatens your destiny. On your way to church this morning, if you've driven to church this morning, you know that there are some things that are out there on the road nowadays that can threaten your destiny. We call them potholes. They're big. And they'll bounce you. Sin is like a pothole on the road of life. Its purpose is to throw out a wheel bearing. Its purpose is to break a tie rod. Its purpose is to hinder you in making it to your destination. That's not the purpose of a pothole, but that seems to be the outcome many times. But sin's purpose is to hinder you in your walk with God, in your direction towards the destiny. Sin versus holiness. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Look around you, look in front of you, look beside you, look behind you. It doesn't matter where you're looking this morning. Every single person has sinned. Everyone, all have sinned. Now, just for the sake of clearing up your thinking, that doesn't mean that all are still sinning. That does not mean that all are still sinning. It just simply means that all have, past tense at least, sinned. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Now, who is he talking about here in that three-letter word, him? He hath made Jesus Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ became sin for us. He took my sin upon himself. He took your sin upon himself. He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Richard Taylor wrote in the book on this subject, A Right Conception of Sin. He said, the doctrines relating to sin form the center around which we build our entire theological system. We have to have an understanding of the antithesis of holiness to grasp what is taking place in our own existence and our own lives before we are ever able to receive what God has in store for us of his holiness. Now, what does the Bible say about sin? Or let me say it more simply, what is sin? How do we define sin? How do we understand sin? There's some Bible meanings, some Old Testament meanings of sin. In the Old Testament, we can see that the word sin was simply missing the mark. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Maybe it's a good time now to insert the verse of Scripture from the New Testament, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, but that's for a later time. But I find it within that verse in Genesis chapter 4 as well, missing the mark. If you do well, if you are doing right, if you are living right, if you are obedient to God, then you're doing well. But if there's disobedience, sin lieth at the door. We can find sin as crookedness or perversion. In Lamentations, it says, he hath made my paths crooked. One writer said that it is thus that twists away from God's straightness. Sin, crookedness, it twists us away from God's straightness. It perverts us from God's holiness. It twists us and it perverts us away from his plan. Sin is rebellion. You might be able to understand that if as you study Old Testament, as you study sin and study and read after people, you might find within the writings of individuals that this word sin as rebellion might be the most profound word in the Old Testament for sin. The most profound word for sin. Because within this word of sin being rebellion, we find deliberate transgression. We find premeditated sin. Rebellion against God. One writer said that sin is a revolt of the human will against the divine will. A revolt. We also find in the Old Testament that sin is as wickedness. It's a raging against God. And you'll find it in wickedness in a number of places, a raging against God. You'll see that sin is unfaithfulness. It's a breach of trust or a breach of faith in the covenant relationship. And we don't have time to look at all of that this morning, but you can see it very clearly in the writings of the Old Testament with Israel and their unfaithfulness to God. And they would come back and then they would be unfaithful. And it seemed as though so often their unfaithfulness was in the same avenue, the same direction. The same battles. We can see sin as evil. That would be a general term for bad, as contrasted to good. Sin as evil. Over and over again, you can see sin as being evil and the contrast of bad or bad versus good. And over and over again, you can read it that way. You also find sin as iniquity in the Old Testament. There's an unjustness, there's an unrighteousness, and it's often connected with idolatry. Iniquity. We find sin common in the Old Testament. It's written in many different ways, as I've mentioned here, seven different basic meanings or facets to the word sin in the Old Testament. All of them having their same core meaning rooted in disobedience to God. If we flip over into the New Testament and try to hurry along here, we'll find that sin is a transgression. This word is the most common of the New Testament terms for sin. Transgression, it means to do wrong. It means to trespass or to violate. To sin against God or simply disobey. Just simply a disobedience. Now, sometimes we get this thinking and we get stuck in theological terms and theological directions. We have, you know, our mind goes in the easiest pattern that we can follow because that's the way humanity is. We want to take the road of least resistance. I can't help myself. And granted, you and I can't live the Christian life without the divine touch of the Holy Spirit. You and I are not capable of living for Christ without God. We can't do it on our own. But having said that, we also have to understand that within the defining element of sin is transgression, that there is that it means to do wrong or to violate, to trespass or to disobey God, that there is personal responsibility. You and I have personal responsibility. Romans chapter 6, verse 1, shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, neither be ye partakers of other men's sin. Keep thyself pure. Keep thyself pure. Keep thyself pure. Keep thyself pure. Oh, God, I need you. I can't do this. I know, we can't, but keep thyself pure. You see, there's a little bit of something down in this walk, this journey, this living for Christ, that I have to want to. And when I want to, keep thyself pure. Donald Metz would tell us that this includes attitudes and inner responses, the things that are deep inside that other people can't hear or people can't see or people can't feel, but we know because it's inside. Not only in the New Testament do we find sin as transgression, but we also find sin as unrighteousness. Or unrighteousness would be wrongdoing and wickedness and injustice. 1 John chapter 5, the gospel writer, or the writer here, not in the gospels, but in his epistle, 5:17, all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. One of the theologians of yesteryear said that that means one who breaks God's laws. Anyone who breaks God's laws is considered an unrighteous individual, and that is sin. Now that sounds bad, that sounds horrible, that sounds as though it might be a little bit on the brink of depression, and yet when we find it also in John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness is sin. He's just to forgive all of our unrighteousness. Sin is transgression, sin is unrighteousness, sin is lawlessness. Lawlessness. What is lawlessness? It's somebody who despises the law, defiance to the law. You could say that it's iniquity. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, Jesus said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, ye that have a defiance of the law." Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, Jesus said, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." There's more definitions in the New Testament than that, but let me move on just simply to say that sin has a broad meaning. But what is sin? What constitutes sin? 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, sin is a transgression of the law. 1 John 5:17, that I've already read, all unrighteousness is sin, the opposite of righteousness. It's unrighteousness. All unrighteousness is sin. Then when we come to Romans chapter 7, we hear Paul saying in Romans chapter 7 that sin was dead until he found out about the law. "For I had not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet." And so by the law, by the word of God, we learn what sin is. And so here we then come to James chapter 4, verse 17, where James records for us that definition that is so commonly used: to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We could spend a lot of time there talking about that, to him that knoweth to do good. We could look at it from another translator. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. That's pretty broad. Because then that would indicate, that would mean that any time that I disobey the voice of God, any time I disobey God's word, I sinned. That's drawing a pretty hard line in the life of a human that is based in sin, that has a root of sin, that comes from that definition, that little phrase that said, all have sinned. We don't have it stamped on our forehead like Cain had stamped on his forehead in the Old Testament and in Genesis. But we have it stamped in our DNA that we've all sinned. To him that knoweth to do good. And any time that a person disobeys the voice of God, whether it's in the spiritual realm, God speaking to me, or through his word speaking to me, or some way of knowing the will of God, and I do not obey. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's important that we know what sin is, isn't it? Because if we have a wrong conception of sin, then it produces a wrong result. If we have a wrong conception of sin, then it will lead to sin. If we have a wrong conception of sin, it eliminates personal responsibility. If we have a wrong conception of sin, we have a misinterpretation of the Bible. If we have a wrong conception of sin, it misrepresents sanctification. John Wesley said, "Nothing is sin, strictly speaking, but a voluntary transgression of a known law of God. Therefore, every voluntary breach of the law of love is sin. And nothing else, if we speak properly." Wow, John Wesley, it sounds like you're watering things down. No, he might be making it more succinct, making it more understandable that anything, the law of God, breach of the law of love, it's sin. A voluntary transgression. And if we take that and run with it for just a little bit here this morning, we would have to understand that in any way that we love somebody else less than we love ourselves, we have a breach of the law of love from God. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Some people have to learn to love themselves, they say, and that's usually used as a crutch in this particular area. We need to have an understanding of personal love, but we also have to understand the reality that anytime I love somebody less than myself, which means that I am willing to do them hurt, willing to do them wrong, willing to do them less than what I want for myself. Any voluntary transgression. Let me bring it back again here to Donald Metz. Sin may be defined as a voluntary transgression of the known law of God by a morally responsible agent, or as any state or attitude which is contrary to Christian love. Boy, he brings it back around there with what John Wesley was saying. To him that knoweth to do good. Now God knows what our level of light or our level of knowledge would be. He knows. Now, and that doesn't give me leeway to say, well, if I only spend Sundays studying God's word, then there's a lot of things I'm not going to learn. Well, I tell you, all of you that are teachers here this morning, at least it never worked for me that I could tell the teacher, well, I didn't study, so I did the best that I could without studying. So just give me a good grade based on the answers that I did know, based on what I did study. None of you teachers would ever give me that kind of grace. And you probably don't give anybody else that kind of grace. But somehow we think that God, in his gracious nature, in his gracious attitude, in his gracious way, would grant to us that kind of grace. God knows our level of light and our level of knowledge, and he knows what we are capable of and able to. And we need to walk in faithfulness to his word. He's given it to us. If we have a concept of God based on the scriptures, and that is our foundation for knowing who God is, then we must also understand that it's from the scriptures that we learn what sin is. And God provided the means, the grace, to wash away every God made Christ sin for us. He took it upon himself, your sin, all of your sin. You don't want to stand up here today. You don't want to confess today all of the transgressions of your life, all the dark sins of your life, but you don't have to. God made Christ sin for us, so that we can be made into his righteousness. The concept of holiness and the concept of sin comes from God's word. Not to keep us down, but to lift us up so that we can live righteously. Would you stand with me this morning? Thank you for your attendance and attention this morning. Trust you have a good day. Enjoy God's blessings today. Praise God. Forget our services this evening. Come back again tonight. See what God has for us this evening. Colin, would you dismiss us in prayer?